Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, this is Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to helping folks figure out life through simple church or organic church, house church, that type of thing. And we're really glad you joined us here today. I'm Gavin Duerson, and I'm coming at you from Lexington, Kentucky. And
I'm Tom LeCompte. I drove here from Louisville, Kentucky to be with Gavin so we could get in the recording studio. It's been a few weeks since we've been in here, and we apologize for that. We've had a lot going on in our lives, conferences and ministry things, and it's just been a while since we've been in the recording studio, but we're looking forward to making some podcast magic now, and hopefully something that you can use and enjoy. So
yeah, and just mentioning the conference, we had a great conference here. This is our fifth year. We focused mostly this year on prayer. And we really had a wonderful time just praying for God to move throughout our nation in a really great way, and for disciples to be multiplied, for house churches to be multiplied. And we prayed, we did prayer walking, we prayed through our relationships. We had everyone sort of think about a list of 100 people they knew and begin just praying for them. And it's interesting, we've already seen God really move. There's a simple church, a new simple church in the region here that was represented, and they've seen, they're going to be baptizing their third or possibly, I think maybe fourth person tonight since the conference in just the last 2 weeks. So that was really special and really neat to see, and praying for those folks and then seeing God move just in the last 2 weeks and then coming to know the Lord and being baptized into the family. So it was a wonderful time, and we pretty much have that conference around the same time of year, every year. So if you've never been, and we had folks coming in from Washington, D.C., and we had some visitors from some other states as well. And it was really wonderful. It was a small group, but very intimate and very good, and some good friendships were made. And really thank everyone that was able to come this year. And if you didn't, then go ahead and star your calendar for next fall to join us. And it's become really one of my favorite weekends of the year to kind of take a time out. It's the one thing that I've sort of been a part of where we've kind of said, hey, let's leave the kids at home for a time period and just come together as adults and husbands and wives and really pray about and consider the call that God has given us to be a part of His work and be a part of His kingdom and making disciples. And so it was a wonderful weekend. And sorry you couldn't make it this year, Tom.
Yeah.
We missed you.
Well, I miss being there, but we were doing some pretty cool things, too. Two things I want to mention. There is a group of international students in Louisville that have covenanted together to meet on a regular basis. They're not calling themselves a house church, but they are calling themselves a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it will lead to a microchurch, a house church, or something like that. But these are international student or international Christians. Most are students either at University of Louisville or the seminary there. And they just want to get together for the purpose of, you know, gathering to encourage one another, to worship, to study God's word, things like that. So we're doing that. Right now we're doing that once a month, and we hope to be doing that every week at some time in the future. So that's a great positive thing. A couple other things is we just took a bunch of international students on a camping trip. That's always a challenge, but it's also very productive because, you know, for all the work that you have to put into camp. I don't know if you like camping, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, my theory on camping is that it's basically going through a lot of trouble to try to recreate the conditions you could have had back at home.
Right. Well, we did that out in the woods, but we had, I think, four international students. For all the work we did, we only had four international students come. But that's great because those are the four international students that God picked to go and to hear what God had to say to them, not what we had to say to them. And we didn't have anything planned that we were going to present to them or preach to them. We just set up an environment and they asked questions.
Yeah.
And some of the questions they asked were just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Just deep spiritual questions on everything. And one guy, he said, "I have an economics question for you." And I said, "Well, I don't know anything about economics, but I'll give it a try." And he said, "Okay, here it is. You put in so much effort into this camping trip." And I did. I mean, I set up tents. I was the one who did everything. Bonnie, of course, helped. And we had some people, bring in some food. But as far as doing all the arrangements, setting up, it was hard work. It was 90 degrees. It was hot. And he said, I see that you put a lot of effort into this, but I don't see that you have any benefit from this. There's no economic benefit from this. So I'm asking you, why are you doing this? So that is the perfect kind of question that someone working with internationals wants to hear. So that gives you an opportunity to say, well, I'll tell you why I'm doing this, exactly why I'm doing this. So, not without cramming the gospel down his throat, we just kind of had some conversations about, I'm doing this because Jesus did so much for me and I'm trying to give back and help you guys. And, we've lived overseas. We know what it's like to be in a strange country and not know how to navigate the culture or navigate the infrastructure. So we just want to help you guys. And so that opened the dam to more questions and more questions. And just everything from just war theory to, soteriology. I mean, he just asked so many questions for the entire weekend. And it was great.
Yeah.
While we were on the camping trip, we found out that another international student that's been in the country for several years accepted Christ and was baptized. So, wow, lots of good things happening.
An incredible opportunity. In fact, I just sent out a little deal to some folks. There's just so many opportunities. I think I just recently found out that in Lexington, Kentucky, one out of every five people in this city are internationals.
Really?
One out of
like
every
immigrants
five.
Or
they're immigrants,
refugees?
They're refugees. They're students that are here from other countries. They're people that have came here. That's a mind-blowing thought, really. I mean, one out of every five people. And, I would be interested, maybe it's something, it's just the world is at our doorstep. And I really think there's a wonderful opportunity through campus ministries like you guys are involved in. I mean, there's tons of those opportunities here. But it does, it's hard for most people, I think, to maybe reach outside of their normal lives and invest. There's fear. There's, I don't know if I can't, maybe language barriers they're concerned about, cultural barriers. It's tough. But I think that for folks who, I had said, and there are a lot of folks out there kind of wondering, Lord, where are these persons of peace? Where are the people that I can, that will, welcome me into their life? Like, and for a lot of people, when we talk to similar, I think it's a real hard thing, maybe, is just finding who are the people that want to spend time with you, to get to know you, and maybe hear what you have to say. And I think that there's probably a lot of those folks that are internationals right in our backyard that many times we're not going to where they are, we're not sure how to maybe meet those folks, but certainly something I think that there's a credible opportunity there for not only just sharing the gospel, making new friends, educating ourselves, but also seeing God's kingdom really spread out. You correct me if I'm wrong, but in general, a lot of international students, my understanding is they come here and they're very shocked that they'll stay here for 2 years or a year or 4 years, and they'll never, ever enter the home of an American.
That's very true, and that's very sad. So if that's something you're interested in, you can email me personally at rubani2@gmail.com. We can help you figure out how to meet someone from another country. I mean, it's not hard. They're all around you. Go up and introduce yourself and just lean into them with a posture of humility and love and welcoming, and just get to know them, be their friend. gently share the gospel with them. Don't cram it down their throat.
Share your life with them.
Share your life with them and wait for the questions, because the questions will come. So
you know, you were talking about something there, and I know we have some things we're going to get to today, but I guess another just update kind of story. You had mentioned about being focused on the numbers and how we do things. And it's funny because I think we can sometimes have a view when we've committed to Simple Church that's like, oh, we're anti the numbers. Like, that's why, you know, we're not trying to get a big group. So we're, you know, that's not important to us. That's why we do Simple Church. We're focusing on a few people. Well, my experience has been that a lot of times, even then, when we think we're going to focus on just a few people like Jesus, like we have a number of an ideal number of how many a few people are. And if it's a few short of that number, then we still end up feeling like worrying about the numbers. And I wrestle with that too. And it was funny, this past Sunday, we had had a family we were going to have to come over to our Simple Church, and ended up, I didn't think anyone was coming. We were having them come to pray for them, and it's kind of interesting how it happened though. But sure enough, people did come. People I didn't even know were going to be a part that had been a part of our group. I hadn't heard from them. I assumed they weren't coming. They showed up, but it was just such a rich time, and I'm really grateful for that, you know. And it was another great reminder. I was feeling discouraged, like, wow, like, just going to be us and this other couple, which would have been totally fine. But I was really bummed that more people weren't going to be able to be there, and there were still several folks that weren't able to come. But the cool thing that was that as I sat around our kitchen table and we looked at the folks that God did bring into our home this Sunday to fellowship and to pray for this family, I was really struck by how God brings people together in the most weird ways. I mean, I looked around there. The guy that we were praying for is a man that my wife has met initially at Kroger. He's a gentleman older than us, not an old gentleman, but older than me and my wife. But he had shared with us that he had been having some health issues, and we had prayed for him at Kroger, and he wanted us to, he was willing for us to, our Simple Church, to pray for him. So he came, and his wife, and then they even have a friend that's an elderly lady living with them who they met online. On Facebook, actually, and she had no family, and they ended up moving this lady several years ago to invite her to come live with them and take care of her. We had another couple there. It was a guy who I had met because my car kept breaking down, and this guy kept driving me back to my house. And he ended up marrying a lady. I got to be a part of their wedding. And then there was another lady sitting at the table who just randomly did a web search for house church, came across our website, and you know, I was just sitting there thinking, like, and we had the most rich time around the table. We never left the table, just praying for one another, sharing, building up, sharing songs with each other. And I was just sitting there just thanking God and in awe of how he connects people. You know, that here's a person that from Kroger, here's a person from a car dealership, here's a person that just did a web search, here's a lady who met somebody on Facebook playing some game on Facebook, and now this family and totally welcome them to move her across the country to live in with her, and we all were sharing Christ together. We were praying for this man, and it was just a rich time, and I'm always grateful of how God, you know, his plans are always way better than ours. Like, I had a picture of how I thought it should look, and it didn't look that way at all, but it ended up looking way better. And I thankful for what God's doing all around, you know. And when we open ourselves up to kind of say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I'm down for the ride, wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to go, however you want this to look. You know, I think our expectations sometimes can be our worst enemy in this whole deal, because we have these expectations of something looking a certain way. And that's kind of the way we've conditioned people, I think, for so long in our country, in our culture, in the Christian culture. This is what it looks like, expected every week. And I think Simple Church, it was a great reminder this week to continue to, you know, I tell this to other people, but I need to do it myself, to lay my expectations at the foot of the cross and give those to Jesus and just say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you have, that's who with whomever it may be, that's who I want. That's what I want. I want to be a part of what you're doing and your family and with whom and where, however that looks, you know. So I just thank God for that. So it was a good, been a good week.
It has been a good week. It's been a good several weeks. And, you know, what you said, you expected one thing and got and God did something else. That's exactly what this campout was. We expected, you know, a lot of people to show up, and no one showed up except, you know, these four students, and those were the four students that God wanted there. So, you know, God is good, and he's at work doing incredible things despite what we're doing. You know,
we think we're
helping God, and actually, you know, God's doing it, and we're just along for the ride sometimes. So,
yeah. Well, so another neat thing that's happened since, I guess, the last time we got together, Tom, is I was able to go down to Tampa, Florida, to participate in the Zume Summit. That's something we've talked about before, and hopefully we're going to have Forrest on in a later episode to sort of give the full update on what the Zume project is all about and kind of what God's doing there. And I would just say this, you know, I was very encouraged to be a part of this group. And what's going on, if you're just new, you know, there's a group of people that are thinking like we think, and thinking house church, simple church, organic church. They're thinking discipleship and outside the context, I guess, of the more of the traditional church, although certainly in this case working with the traditional church in many instances, but really looking at the issue to say, hey, America is post-Christian. Disciples, by admission of many of the studies we have of our own church leaders, are not being made in America. What are we going to do about it? Because we know we're called to go and make disciples. And as I've shared on this show before, to me, simple church is a byproduct of the pursuit of making disciples. It's
right.
Not, you know, if you want to make disciples and you want to do that with some sort of resemblance to how it was done in the Bible, you're going to end up doing something like simple church. And that's kind of just what discipleship and simple church go hand in hand in my mind. So, but anyway, so they're looking at this and saying, what are you going to do about it? How are we going to do that? And there's a gentleman named Curtis Sargent who... he has been a part of Training for Trainers, T for T, and friends with a guy named Ying Kai, who he helped train in China. That was a part of seeing, you know, thousands of house churches there. They were together in Tampa, and we've been praying online and praying over the phone for several months about this Zume project, which essentially is behind it all is a lot of the training that Curtis does that many of us have used as well, or a version of. It's, you know, it's not brain surgery kind of stuff. It's very simplistic kind of reproduction, multiplication kinds of ideas and training that we've talked about even on the show. But it's very good, very good. And he's basically taken that. They're putting it online, and they're going to launching this Zume Project website. You can go there now, Zume Project. I think it's .com or .org, and there's a video you can
watch. We'll put a link on the website.
So basically, they're bringing a lot of these folks together that are interested in this, and they're trying to find state coordinators and county coordinators for every county and every state in America. And the vision is to see two disciple-making house churches or simple churches in every census tract. And so census tracts are blocks of about 5,000 people or so. And so we're, at the end of the day, you know, you're talking about over 700,000 house churches that are very much making disciples in their context, in their geographic area, which is insane vision. I mean, it's a God thing, and that was the, you know, you hear numbers, and again, we just talked about it being about the numbers. I'm very averse to, you know, I think sometimes it's not about the numbers. Well, sometimes in house church, we can say something like that, and if you're someone who's not a numbers person, like me, sometimes you can have a negative reaction to even that idea. We want to see 700,000 simple churches started in North America. Well, oh, wait a minute, that sounds to me like numbers. That sounds, you know, and I'll be honest, I think that's been some of my struggle kind of with internally with some of this too. It's like, well, you know, I don't want it to be about the numbers, but, you know, I was so glad I went down there, Tom, because you can hear people say things like that or read about people's vision. And if you don't meet, sometimes you just have to meet people to kind of see their heart behind it, you know. And one of the things that struck me is that a lot of the talk, as there was talk of this burden for America and for disciples to be made and the need for, at the base level, 700,000 simple churches. I mean, that wouldn't even... you know, fulfill the Great Commission necessarily in America. They have to be reproducing house churches at that. I mean, there's tears in people's eyes. There's broken hearts. There's weeping. for our for lostness in our country. There's weeping for America. And man, you know, that makes you kind of want to listen, you know, and not be so negative or not have that knee-jerk reaction to this vision of all these, you know, it's when you sat in the room with these folks, it was so obvious that this was not about any person. This was not about any organization. The Zume Project is not even owned by any organization. It's just a collaborative effort. And to see the heart of people really burdened and really broken for the lostness in our country, man, that was so encouraging to me. And I think the my big takeaway from it, and you know, we've even talked about on this show, I think when I first started doing Simple Church, it was in a lot in my mind, a big part of it was like, wow, we could see thousands of house churches in Kentucky or in this area. You know, the multiplication potential is there. And the truth of the matter is that you know, and you know I've talked about this, that just hasn't happened.
Right.
That hasn't been my experience in the last 6 years.
And it's a little frustrating, too.
And it can be. It can be. And I think that, you know, I've probably rested more on the idea, well, maybe I won't live to see it. I mean, we certainly know there's biblical precedent for God giving people a vision and then them not living to see that fulfilled, but it being their grandchildren or the next generation. And if that's the case, you know, I'm cool with that. And it's not about that. Ultimately, for me, it isn't. But I think what I realized when I was down there, and this is maybe an encouragement to everyone out there, if you too are somebody that's like, man, we wanted to see our house church multiply, but it's not really happening like I thought it would. You know, the encouragement I got was that just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it might not happen this year. You know, we sometimes let the past, you know, inform what we think will happen in the future. And I was just very encouraged to, you know, again, totally cool. If I don't ever live to see thousands of house churches multiplied in my state or in my region or in the nation, hey, it's God's deal, because I can't do that anyways. I probably tried.
You can't make it happen.
It's got to be the Holy Spirit. It's got to be initiated and led by God. We can have we can be open and prepared and expectant, and we can be thinking and training people to think in ways that will not hinder multiplication to happen, but we can't make it happen. And I think the thing for me that I was so encouraged, and I have been and continue to be encouraged by the Zume Project, is that it's been a reminder to me that it might happen. It might happen. It just because it hasn't happened in the past 6 years does not mean that it will not happen this year, next year, or in my lifetime. And you know, the encouraging thing with like Curtis and some of these folks, that they're believing that God is going to move in a powerful way, that disciples will be made and that the church will be multiplied in North America, and they believe that, and they're acting in faith to prepare for that to happen and to be able to encourage that and to foster that, and in a major way, in a way that's much, even, you know, outside of my box at times. And so I think that was just super encouraging, you know, to me. And I share with those guys, hey, the faith in this room is very encouraging to me, you know. And it's not you know, unless you're in the room, you can't really understand this, but there was in no way this sense of like, we're going to do this, or like pride or ego. It wasn't, there was none of that. And that was just so refreshing for me to see, to say, you know, we believe that God desires for all people to come to repentance, and He is wanting to see disciples multiply in our country. And we're not going to just sit and wait for someone to tell us to do it, but we're going to prepare. What would that look like? How would that work, even if the traditional church, how would that work outside of the traditional church structures?
Right.
How might that look? How could that happen in North America to see hundreds of thousands of people come to faith and be made into disciples who can make other disciples who can make other disciples? Right. And how would that look? And that's essentially the Zume Project's vision. And the website is going to provide some online training and connectivity, so that if you start you started doing this project, you're going to end up being connected with someone locally, the closest person to you who's also making disciples and seeing simple churches planted and going through the online training. So, you know, that was in a nutshell. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully we can get Curtis or even a good friend of mine, Forrest Head with Big Life. He's been pretty involved in some of the behind-the-scenes work with this launch of the website, the training material, and this sort of thing. Maybe we have them on.
Yeah, we've had them on the show. We've had Forrest on the show in the past.
Yeah.
You can go back and revisit that, but we hope to have him on in a future podcast. So.
Yeah, and Curtis has a great website now, which, I mean, the training will be certainly presented differently. I think it'll look a little bit more sexy, perhaps, with what they're doing, because they don't want it to be just a white dude talking, but it's going to be a video scribe type of training. But you can go online right now and benefit from a lot of Curtis. In fact, on SimpleChurchAlliance.com, we recently just posted his online training that he has now through his website and through some of the stuff he does in other countries and now even here in America. And it'd be great videos, and there's some downloading materials you can do as well to kind of help facilitate that. And there's like 20 training videos or teaching videos on there, and it'd be excellent for anyone interested in Simple Church. You might not agree with everything he's saying. The language might be a little different, you know. And again, if you don't know him, you might miss out on his heart. But I think you're always limited. Anytime we're doing a podcast, it's what people are hearing is different than if they were sitting here at the table with us. If you're watching a video, it may be a little better because you see the people, but there's still nothing ever as good as personal interaction and face-to-face relationship that helps, I think, people understand and your heart and why you're doing what you're doing. But nonetheless, I think what Zoom is about, and even what, you know, this podcast is about, is to say, well, maybe something is better than nothing. And there's going to be a lot of you that may not be able to sit at this table in person with Tom and I. And hopefully this podcast can be an encouragement to you and things like Zoom A Project as well. And if not, then great. Go elsewhere and be encouraged however you see fit. But I am encouraged that God's in it, and be exciting to see what happens.
Well, just to whet your appetite, I'm going to play you a clip of Curtis Sargent from the National House Church Conference from several years back, talking about his work and how house churches in China had the vision of evangelizing the world. So listen to this clip.
In 1999, I guess, January probably of 1999, I was doing some training for senior leadership of the largest house church network in China. And to make a long story short, as a result of our time there together, after much, much prayer, they decided to send this one woman as their first missionary overseas. They had sent missionaries within the country to other people groups, but never overseas. And she had really resisted out of fear the call that she was hearing from the Lord. But we prayed for her, commissioned her late at night after, you know, a full day of talking and preparation and prayer, and then she acknowledged that she was called to the Lord. And I went to bed because I was exhausted and woke up early the next morning to continue with the training, and noticed that the lady wasn't there. So I said, what happened? Well, you know, where is she? And they said, she left. And I said, left where? And they said, don't you remember? God called her to Myanmar last night. And I said, she went to Myanmar. And they said, yes. They said, last night you went to bed. The rest of it was about 1 o'clock when we had finished praying and commissioning her. And they said, the rest of us stayed up. We prayed and identified who her partner would be. So we identified a young lady who would travel with her, and they were going there, never planning to return to their home country. And they took an offering, gathered every penny that every person had on them, pooled all their resources, had just enough money to buy 2 one-way bus tickets to the border with Myanmar. So they pooled their money, gathered it, went down so that they could catch the first bus out of town in the morning at 4:30 a.m. Packed the little bags they had with them, and they went. This woman had a life. She was a medical doctor. She didn't say, "Yes, Lord, when I can get things taken care of at my practice." She didn't say, "Yes, Lord, if," "Yes, Lord, but," "Yes, Lord, when." God called her, and she immediately gave up everything and obeyed. That is the kind of discipleship God would delight to multiply. I guarantee, just as God promised Abraham, "I will make you the father of many nations," that spiritually, this woman will be the mother of many nations. Because she had the faith of Abraham to obey, no matter what the cost, immediately. And we need more of that.
All right. So, Gavin, what do you like this week?
I'll tell you a great website that I think I might have mentioned it before, but if I haven't, I'll mention it again. Noisetrade.com. It's a great website that you can go to, download free albums many a times. Artists will give you sometimes like their most recent album, sometimes greatest hits of their album, sometimes one song, all in exchange for an email, and they will inform you about their upcoming releases and things. So if you have an email address that you don't check a whole lot or you don't want to be bothered with, then by all means, put that one in there. But in exchange, you'll get free music. And who doesn't like free music? Noisetrade.com, great website I love. And there's a new album that was just put up there this week by, it's sort of the best of so far, by a group called The Afters. You'll be familiar with them if you've heard them on Christian radio, but they're kind of one of those bands that they've also had some pretty good hits that are more of in the crossover, I guess you would say. And I've enjoyed a few of their songs over the years, and it was pretty cool to see The Afters post that up on Noise Trade. So noisetrade.com, that's a great website. And if you have music of your own, it's a great way to share it. You can easily create an artist page. I have a inside joke page on there as well, which sometimes I'll throw some stuff up on. I have some homeschooling memory songs on there right now, as well as a few other things. But it's just a good resource to know about, to check frequently. And The Afters, check that one out.
It's The Afters.
It's on there right now.
I've heard a few of their songs. Well, things I like. This past week I saw the movie Sully. Have you seen that?
Have not seen Sully.
Sully, I recommend it. It's a great movie. About the 2009. He won't call it a crash landing. It was a water landing. In the Hudson River, total engine failure of an Airbus 320, I think, and everyone walked away from it. No one was hurt. Very bad. But just a good. A good study in character, a good study in procedure, professionalism, and just, plain good luck and blessing. And they were very, very blessed and lucky to walk away from that one. So if you haven't seen Sully, I highly recommend it. I love movies, so I'm always up to recommend a good movie. So any other thoughts, Gavin?
No, I'm just thanks for joining in, and I guess I always want to say that, we do this to hopefully encourage you, but, as we said, this is a way, but we would love to come to you and help you if there's anything we can do to encourage you. I mean, and no distance is too far. If we can get there, we'd be happy to come lead a retreat or meet with your house church.
Sure.
I got to go down when I was in Florida. I got to visit with some folks near Miami, and it was wonderful to spend a couple days down there with these folks and really begin talking with them about maybe some next steps for them and what God might be, how he might be, what he's doing, and kind of getting, just praying with them and thinking through together how could they begin seeing new simple churches started in their area. That was wonderful. And by all means, if we can ever do that via Skype or in person, let us know.
Yeah,
and that's why we're
we'd
here.
Love to do that. We'll make time to do that.
So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back next time on Keep It Simple.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. Real simple.